Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Bottom Line Me podcast. I'm your host, Ann Allard. Joining me today for part two of our discussion on owner's title insurance is First Vice President at Old Republic National Title, Kevin Pagoda. Kevin serves as the Virginia State Manager in the Northern Division, and he regularly speaks on title insurance and many related matters. He also has been a great contributor to many agency university training and educational initiatives and programs that are available to Old Republic title agents and their staff. Now, if you didn't have an opportunity to listen to our previous broadcast, Kevin merely touched the surface on how we in the title industry can and must do a better job educating consumers on the value of title insurance. So I am delighted that Kevin agreed to come back and continue our conversation on how we in this industry can better inform consumers on the value and the importance of title insurance. Kevin, welcome back, and thanks so much for agreeing to continue this really important conversation.
Thanks, Anne. Thanks for having me back. And for those of you that did not have an opportunity to listen to part one, I'll sum up what my main point was in part one. And that really is this, that when someone's at your closing table and they say, I don't want title insurance, you have an opportunity to persuade them to purchase title insurance. And by doing so, you're going to articulate the value of title insurance, but rather than be focused on what you want to say, the crux of persuading somebody is to discover what matters to that individual and start there and address whatever needs or values that that individual has so that you could then take them from point A, which is where they don't want title insurance, to point B, which is they do want title insurance. And I made the analogy of driving to your house and picking you up in my car and then taking you for a ride, a destination, right? And what's so important about that analogy is the idea that you've got to go to where that person is, just like you've got to drive the car to someone's home to pick them up. And it's got to be warm and inviting. And so when somebody tells you, I don't want title insurance, you can't get cross. You can't say, are you kidding me? You know, I work so hard on this file. This is the only, you know, dollar I make. No, you've really got to react positively and you just say, you know, happy to do that for you. But then it's your job to figure out, you know, why do they not want title insurance? And then use that as an opportunity to educate the individual and hopefully persuade them to buy something that truly has great value. And so along those lines, the last time that I was with you, we talked about two scenarios, one in which the consumer is relatively confused about a title policy, especially the confusion between a lender's policy and an owner's policy. And then the second scenario I talked about was when the individual reveals that they're just focused on the economics of the policy. It's cost too much money would be a statement that would reveal that economics is at the forefront of their mind. Therefore, everything that you wanted to say to convince that person needed to be economic. So those two scenarios were what we covered. And I took my time to cover them because largely, those of us that have the pleasure of being in this industry, we know how to slice and dice title six ways from Sunday, and we grew up in the record room, whatever our story is, but rarely do we come from a marketing background. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about persuasion and marketing. Like it or not, we all sell title insurance, and it is important in that endeavor to discover the needs of our customer and address them. So I've got three more scenarios to talk about that go to the heart of my discussion. The next one is when the individual is what I'm going to call litigious. In other words, they don't have any problem suing other people. And so just like before, I'd like you to pick a name to be working with me in this scenario. If somebody, you know, and you're going to be an attorney, so why don't you pick a nice name? Who do you want to be in my closing as an attorney customer?
I think Janaya is going to be our attorney today.
Janaya, okay. Yes. I don't think I've ever met a Janaya in my life, but
well, there all you right. go.
So Janaya,
she's dynamite.
That's great. So Janaya comes to the closing, and you know, Janaya being an attorney is asking all sorts of questions, and we're having a great time. I'm answering every single one. And then we get to the optional owner's policy, and Janaya says, I don't want that. Take it off. And again, here's my opportunity to drive over to your house in a car, and I'm going to react very positively, be absolutely happy to take that off for you. But before I do, can you just let me know, you know, why is it that you don't, you know, want it?
Reasonable question.
Yeah, right, right. And if you recall, when we went over the confused scenario, well, that was a delightful conversation. And then the next one, the economic scenario, well, that kind of turned up the heat a little bit when people start telling you, you know, your fees are too much. It's almost adversarial. Well, the heat's going to be turned up even more with this scenario, because in this scenario, I'm going to say, Janaya, in answering the question, well, why do you, you know, not want title insurance? Janaya's going to lean in and say, well, you know, you came highly recommended, and I'm already paying you a lot of money. So I'm expecting that you did everything right. And that if you didn't, that you'll make it right. So already, you know, that's like, whoo, all those happy, happy feelings might have kind of gone, you know, out the window.
Yeah.
As you're now being interrogated and you're on the witness stand with this attorney who's saying, you know, you're going to make it right, right?
Well, and the expectations are set at the highest bar.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
And so the answer that I would give, if that's ever happened to you, would be, of course I'm going to make it right. And to the best of my knowledge, I have done everything right. And absolutely, I stand behind my work. And if later on in the years, some problem is discovered, I will make it right. But, and here's where, you know, we're going to get in the car together and go off a little bit. I'm not the only individual that had a part to play in your transaction. There is a surveyor that did work. There is a title searcher that did work. And you can name the various players, that all of which are human beings and all of whom make mistakes. And so while I can say that I'll certainly make things right, I'm expecting, but could not promise you the same thing for all those other people that might have done something incorrectly. And furthermore, and this is taking the car down the road even more, Janaya, I certainly hope to be around a good long while. I love what I do, but I can't tell you that I'm going to be around when you decide to sell the property, because it's at that time, whenever that is, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, that another title search will be done. And it's usually at that time that if something's gone wrong, if some lien was missed, then that's when it'll be brought to your attention. And I can't promise you that I'm going to be alive. I don't know. Tomorrow, my crystal ball is just as dark as yours. And so when Janaya says, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I'll just sue anybody that is blameworthy, you know, the answer is, there might not be anybody around for you to sue because of the nature of title liens. They might be judgment proof. They might have gone out of business, or they just might be dead. You know, again, I hope to be around for you to do your sale transaction. But that's a problem with that kind of response, is that there might not be anyone to sue. Furthermore, I will also have to say, and again, here's my response to Janiyah, you know, I know you've met the sellers, and they're lovely people. And I've done exactly what I am expected to do. I've checked their IDs. They absolutely look credible. And I have no doubt that they are the sellers that are the record title holders. However, we all know that if crooks looked like crooks, then they wouldn't get away with everything that they get away with, right? I mean, it goes without saying that
absolutely
people that look, that impersonate others, they're very good at it. And so here's something: that if one or more of your sellers is not the real seller, like a girlfriend or a boyfriend, and I'll tell you that in that scenario, those people disappear and get new identities. And so if, again, you're relying on the fact that you're an attorney and you're just going to sue people that cause you problems, someone like that and that kind of problem is not somebody that you're going to find and be able to sue with any great deal of success. And I'll tell you, Anne, that, you know, while all of those things are true in what I'm saying, that is, people die, people go out of business, or people are impersonators, it's easy for an attorney to think, well, yeah, I hear what you're saying, and yeah, but the likelihood of that is probably that I'm still not sold on title insurance. The one thing that I like to end with that I think goes to the heart of the fallacy of relying on your ability to sue people is to lean in and say, you know, you can also have a title problem and there's no one to blame for it. There's nobody did anything wrong.
No negligence.
And you know, usually with that opening statement, I get, you know, tell me more because I don't understand. And the whole idea here is to talk about the gap. The gap between when you close and when documents are recorded. So in my state of Virginia, we sign everything in a simplistic way. We take documents. We go to the land records, we look at the title one more time, we pick it up from when we last saw it, we run it forward to make sure no liens have been filed since the last time we looked at it. And then once we've confirmed that, we walk and we get in line to record those documents. And we might be the fifth person in line, and yet the second person in line is recording a lien against the seller, which will take priority against all your documents. Nobody did anything wrong. What's wrong is that our land records system is imperfect and allows for a gap that allows lien holders of the seller to record a superior right that will then take precedence over your title rights in the property. And with that, there's no one to sue. Nobody did anything wrong. So that's a nice final argument, I think, to help especially attorneys understand that just suing people is not always the answer. For non-attorneys, the additional point is, you know, that's expensive. But for some people, like attorneys, it doesn't cost me anything because I'm part of a big firm. And of course, they're going to do everything for me, or I'll represent myself, you know, whatever. So that would be scenario number three, is the litigious. And then the next
very
scenario,
interesting. That is, and I think it applies, you know, whether you're talking to an attorney or just someone who is an experienced buyer or seller, or someone that thinks that they are familiar with the process. I think those are great responses to those questions. So thanks. All right. What else you got for us?
Well, what else I've got is I'm going to call this next scenario anything goes because, you know, when somebody says, you know, again, happy closing, and yet you get down to that owner's policy and they say, take it off. I don't like that. Well, sometimes your ability to ask questions and figure out why. Why don't you like title insurance so I can address what concerns you? They're just a closed book. You know,
yeah.
The response mm-hmm. is, I just don't want it.
Mind made up. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Mind made up. That's it. Not for me. You know, and that's fine. Again, happy, happy, glad to do that for you. What I then would suggest you do is say something along these lines. Okay, well, before I do, let me just make sure that your decision to not have title insurance is an informed one. And so
got it.
That, you know, I hate the atmosphere of a pressured timeshare where, you know, you're caught in a corner and you got to listen just to get out the door. I don't want to create that for my consumer. Again, happy to take it off. However, I want one last chance to illustrate the beauty and the value of title insurance. But I know I've got a very limited time here because they don't want to talk about it. They're not giving me any information to address. They just don't want it. Okay, that's fine. So
this is the brevity conversation, I guess
right.
I would say.
So here, yeah. I usually would say a few words that hopefully might trigger more conversation. And if not, I feel like I have not overstepped my bounds and cornered them with a timeshare presentation. But I'll say something like, you know, the lender has made it required. And one of the reasons, or just so that you're informed in your decision, I'll just say that title insurance protects against human error. The lender understands this. So although I know I've done my best, I can't vouch for everybody else. I also like the idea of the land records being imperfect because that catches people a lot. So I do mention, you know, and then also the land records, it's imperfect. So there might be a reason for a lien where nobody does anything wrong. And I might stop there and just see if that, you know, raises
triggers
an eyebrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and if not, then I just take them to my little sheet where they mark off, you know, I don't want title insurance. Right. And usually I have some big, bold language about what that looks like, but I'm going to reserve that for my last scenario. But before I leave this one, the whole idea here is when the consumer is not going to give you anything to address, you do need to have something, the briefest something, the most intriguing something, not some big, long story of some title issue that, you know, that right. they're going to roll their eyes at, but something, maybe one or two things that are, that have the widest application.
That it becomes relatable to
right.
the average consumer or the average buyer.
Right. 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 So you're just really at that point taking a shot in the dark, casting a fishing line with hopefully something that will intrigue them enough to say, well, okay, wait a minute. So let's talk about that. What do you mean the land record system is imperfect? You know, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, let's talk. Mm-hmm. All right. So then my last scenario, and as we've gone through these, the heat and the awkwardness has increased. This is the most awkward, the most difficult, I think. And that is when the consumer comes into the conference room and you're going and having a wonderful time and they are accompanied by their real estate agent. And as you're saying, you know, sign here, sign there, and then you get to the part of title insurance, all of a sudden the conversation shifts And the real estate agent interjects and says, take that off. My client doesn't want that. You know? And so now you're caught a little bit, right? So here's a couple of reasons why this is all of a sudden awkward. Awkward number one is, who am I supposed to talk to next? You know, is who's in the driver's seat? Because the consumer truly is my client, but I want this real estate agent who brought me this deal to begin with to bring me more deals. And so I don't want to make that person look bad or feel uncomfortable. So usually I step back and now I try to address them both as a group, because if I talk directly again to the consumer and say, is that true, John? Is that what you want to do? I've isolated the real estate agent.
Yeah.
And then if I talk directly to the real estate agent, then I make the client look foolish, like they're a child, like this is mommy or daddy. And now we're going to have an adult conversation about this individual. So I really have to watch my P's and Q's. And this is hard. I got to get two people in the car now. But the trick here is that it appears that the real estate agent wants to be in the driver's seat. So again, in some way, I've got to act positively, right? And so I'll usually step back and I'll say, great. And I'll be looking at both of them. And I'll say, I'll be happy to do that. And it looks like you've already had a conversation about title insurance before coming here today. Thank you very much, Miss Real Estate Agent, for having that discussion. And just so that I can mark my file, because I'm required to document the reasons why someone doesn't want title insurance, what is the reason why? And I'm going to look at both of them to see who wants to pipe up. But at this point, it's usually going to be the real estate agent who, you know, the consumer is just saying, you know, you're the title professional, just tell me what to do. Right? Okay, so that's fine. So then the real estate agent might just very well respond. And here, if you listen, you know, and again, I'm just wanting to mark the file for the reasons why, you know, and that's what I'm told to do, right? So I'm not trying to be, again, happy to take it off. Can you just, before I do, just tell me why is it that you want, so that I could write that down for the file, okay? Well, if then the real estate agent says anything along the lines of the other scenarios that we've covered, like, well, there's a lender's policy, so that gives my client coverage, right? Oh, no, I'm sorry. A lot of people ask that. Let me clarify that for you. Or it's too much money, you know, then you can go through those reasons. Or, you know, well, my client's an attorney. He'll just sue somebody. Well, that's true, but suing doesn't always solve the problem. Again, if you can get out of the real estate agent the reasons why he or she is advising the client, the true purchaser, why we should decline title insurance, then you could address those reasons. But again, you know, there might not be a reason. You know, the actual most common response that I've heard and it's odd. It's almost as like I've heard this so many times from so many real estate agents, I swear they get together. And the response that I hear sometimes is, well, in my 16 years of being a real estate agent, I've never had anybody, you know, have a claim. Okay. I am. And my response is, I am glad that you've had that experience.
Yeah.
You must have dealt with, you know, great title companies, or I don't know. I just try to make a positive out of it, because there's really nothing. I'm not going to disagree with that experience. I'm happy you've never had a claim at all. And thankfully, you know, maybe I, in my role as a title and settlement company, maybe I've never had a claim either. I know that from where I sit, Kevin Pagoda, yes, I have lots of claims and stories and things that I can tell you.
Right.
Nevertheless, if that's then the answer, or if there is no answer, you're kind of stuck back in that prior scenario where anything goes. And so at that point, again, I kind of like go to the, let me document the file and we'll gladly take it off after you sign the informed consent. So in order for that informed consent to be informed, I just need to spend a few minutes talking about exactly the nature and consequence of the decision to decline an owner's policy. And, you know, it's hard to argue with that when you want to tell somebody, I'm going to do exactly what you say, but I need to follow a procedure and I need to make sure that your decision is informed. Often the real estate agent is just telling the consumer what's good for him or her in the real estate agent's mind. And there wasn't really much information, you know, in that conversation that happened. And so a real estate agent would be hard pressed, I think, to say, no, don't inform the client, just take it off. It's almost like, you know, you've, okay, you know, say your little spiel and then let's get on with it. So here you've got whatever those little brief points are that you think have the widest application that really work for you, that you could articulate well and clearly, not going on and on about some long story, some horrible incident of title, you know, with 15 heirs to the property. And, you know, that's nice, but it, you know, there's lots of other things that you can say, like land records are imperfect, fraud, you know, which is so prevalent today, fraud from the sellers and some others that we've talked about. And then when you get to that waiver, I like to have in big, bold language, you know, sign here right next to it says, I understand that if I waive title insurance, that if there is a title problem, that I have to pay for whatever cost that is to fix, including hiring an attorney. All right, sign here. That's great. So, and that might be the end result of this scenario, plus any of the others that I've gone through in this podcast and the one prior. But I like to, and for some of you, that might just be the end of the story. You might just think, well, you know, you win some, you lose some. Right. Here's one I lost. Better luck next time, right? I hate to give up. I'm competitive by nature. So what I would do when I was doing closings is I like to, you know, we continue on with the closing, sign everything. Here's your packet. And right here, you can see this is your note, this is your deed of trust. And I've also put into this pocket a little brochure about title insurance. I know we've decided that you don't want it. I go to record tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, or I'll say 10 o'clock. If you change your mind, I could make that change for you. You just need to give me a call. And then you close it up and you send it on off. And there have been a few times when people call me that same day, especially in the scenario with the real estate agent, because if they were sold on title insurance based upon what I said, they might feel uncomfortable telling their real estate agent, you know, I don't like your advice. I'm going to go with this guy. But if you give them the opportunity to make a phone call when the real estate agent isn't looking, that might also be to your benefit and the benefit of the consumer. And there's also something to be said for the persuasion, the persuasive factor of that last minute purchase. You know, act now before it's too late. How many commercials are, you know, are leveraging that? When you tell somebody, you know, you got one last chance, here's that brochure when you're at home. And, you know, because let's be honest, for normally, you know, people that have to come in and sign all these papers, eyes are spinning.
It's an awful lot.
Yeah. So then trying to convince that person in that context might be mission impossible because of all the other things that they're thinking about the moving truck outside and, you know, work is calling and all that. But then later on that night when the dust settles and they remember, I'm going to look at that brochure. And, you know, I've got until tomorrow at 10. It might be a win. Again, I hate to give up. So I want one last chance. And that's what I would suggest. Those are my scenarios, or five altogether. The basic underpinning idea between all of them is asking good questions to figure out what it is that the consumer wants.
And understand, let me say, the objection.
Right. And, yeah. You know, and that last scenario involved real estate agents. I think in a perfect world, we are engaging our real estate agent clients on a routine basis to make sure that they're happy with our service, that they keep coming and bringing us business. And that might involve educating them about whatever it is that's going to make them get a deal that'll bring that deal to you. But part of that education, I think, ought to be the value of title insurance. And because it is awkward to get to a closing and the real estate agent says, I don't want that. And I've told my client, I don't want that. So ideally, you've had a conversation with that real estate agent before the closing, before this closing, before any other closing, because you want to address whatever concerns that they might have outside of the view of that consumer, because that's awkward. But you could have frank conversations outside the conference room before the closing. And so there's opportunities, I think, that ought to be taken advantage of to do just that. And I know, having, as you mentioned, participated in Agency University, we've actually got a lot of programs and materials that are geared toward reciting lots of good dialogue to the consumer, like what I have recounted in this podcast and the one prior, plus also great talking points for the real estate agent. Lots of good programs and materials that could be taken advantage of. You just need to tap into easy learning and all the wonderful benefits that we have on Agency University.
Well, exactly. I think you were kind of reading my mind, because I was thinking that, the conversation that we've had is around conversations at the closing table between the parties. But there are opportunities for all of us in the industry to be proactive and to get out there. I mean, the realtor, let's face it, is an important person involved in the transaction. And they're oftentimes on the front line. They're the first person that the buyer or the seller is interacting with. So it behooves us to spend the time and energy and to be committed to helping the realtor understand what title insurance is, how it brings value, and how they can then assist their customers before they get to the closing table. So, yeah, and as you just mentioned, we do have at Agency University a wide variety of tools and resources, some pre-made PowerPoint presentations. We have brochures, we have flyers, we have some video content that is quite entertaining, but also very educational and informative. So those are things I think that, to our listening audience, reach out to your Old Republic Title agency representative if you're looking for ideas on how you can go out and promote or educate your realtor customer on the value of this product. So great. Well, Kevin, what do you think? Are we at the bottom line?
I think we're at the bottom line. So
awesome. Well, give us the bottom line then.
I will give you the bottom line. My bottom line would be this. We shouldn't wait around for people to forget about the value of what we do and the value of title insurance. Because when we do that, then someone, either a regulator or someone else, is going to say that we're not necessary, or title insurance is not necessary. And that affects our livelihood. So we should take the time, as you just said, to educate regulators, title professionals, and consumers about the value of what we do and the value that title insurance brings to a transaction. And when it comes to consumers, well, that task largely falls on the title and settlement agent. And yet, rather than be concerned or preoccupied with what you want to say about title insurance. You need to fashion your dialogue with the consumer based upon what matters to them. And to find that out, you need to ask good questions.
That's an awesome bottom line, Kevin. Well, it's been great to be able to spend not one, but two afternoons with you to talk title insurance. I thank you so much for your words of wisdom, your suggestions, your ideas, and your time, as always. It's been a delight for me to have you join us. So thank you again.
Likewise.
And to our audience, thank you so much. We hope you found this useful, helpful, and informative. And until we gather again, I hope you'll all continue to learn, grow, and prosper. Thanks again.